This is Day to Day. I'm Alex Chadwick. The federal government says it is releasing the alleged enemy combatant Yasser Issam Hamdi and sending him to Saudi Arabia. Mr. Hamdi was captured in Afghanistan. He's been held for almost 3 years without charge. Yesterday, the government disclosed the terms of the release. They are somewhat puzzling, at least to us. Joining us to discuss this turn of events is Slate and Day-to-Day legal analyst Dahlia Lithwick. Dahlia, welcome back to the program, and remind us of Mr. Hamdi's story. How did he come to be an enemy combatant in the first place?
He came to be an enemy combatant because the president took it upon himself to designate him as such, with pretty flimsy evidence. Hamdi was about 20 when he was caught by the Northern Alliance in Afghanistan, moved on to Guantanamo, where it was discovered that he was actually a U.S. citizen. He'd been born in Louisiana, moved back to Saudi Arabia with his family as a small child. From there, he was moved to Navy Briggs in Virginia and then on to South Carolina, where he remained for most of his capture in solitary confinement without access to an attorney, without charges leveled against him. So he's essentially been sort of pitched down a hole for nearly 3 years without access to the courts.
So this wound up in the Supreme Court this summer, a big decision. What was that?
This proved to be one of the most important cases about presidential power in war times. By an 8-1 vote, the Supreme Court said, yes, it's true the president can designate even a U.S. citizen an enemy combatant, but the president doesn't have the power to strip the judiciary of the right to oversee a case, that some kind of neutral process needs to exist even for enemy combatants, where we hear their side of the story and determine if what they're saying is true. Famously, Justice Sandra Day O'Connor said the war on terror is just not a blank check for the president to have powers. And Justices Antonin Scalia and John Paul Stevens went even further, saying, look, charge the guy or let him go. And now we're seeing that the Justice Department doesn't seem to be able to charge him, and so they're letting him go.
But there is this, to me, strange detail in letting him go, this detail of the agreement. He goes to Saudi Arabia, and he has to renounce his U.S. citizenship as part of the deal.
It's an extremely weird agreement, Alex. On the one hand, he's being freed entirely. There will be no criminal charges or process in Saudi Arabia. He's free to do whatever he wants. On the other, as you note, he's going to have to renounce U.S. citizenship. He's not allowed to leave Saudi Arabia for the arbitrary 5-year period. He can't travel to certain other countries where terrorist activity happens. And he's supposed to, quote, renounce terrorism and violent jihad, whatever that means. In addition, kind of hilariously, he's not allowed to sue the United States over the conditions of his detention.
How can the U.S. government demand that someone give up their U.S. citizenship if the government can't even bring a criminal charge against this person?
Well,
excuse me for asking such a simple question. I'm sure it's perfectly clear to you, a legal jurist.
No, this is one of those situations where Hamdi has zero bargaining power. The government can demand absolutely any conditions they want because Hamdi has been, for all intents and purposes, in solitary confinement for 3 years. He would agree to just about any terms, and I'm sure, quite frankly, he's not all that interested in holding on to his U.S. citizenship after that experience.
Sure. Tell me, is this an isolated case, or is the Supreme Court decision about Mr. Hamdi going to affect other terror suspects in U.S. custody? I'm not sure that any of them really are, except for Jose Padilla, really are U.S. citizens.
It's true. Jose Padilla is the only other, at this moment, enemy combatant as designated by the president. But certainly the Hamdi case does have a precedential value. There's one alarming component, which is that the president retains the power to simply name a U.S. citizen an enemy combatant and throw away the key for a while. The upside is that the precedential value of the court's real ruling, which is you're entitled to a day of court, you get to question the government about whether or not what they say about you is true, that still stands as good law. So it's sort of a mixed bag.
Opinion and analysis from Dahlia Lithwick. She writes the jurisprudence column for Slate, and she's a regular guest here on Day to Day. Thanks, Dahlia.
Thanks, Alex.